This is MSO News Sports Now. Joining us, Andy Carboni, our baseball insider. And Andy is back from Florida and in the Northeast. And Andy, how'd you make out with a huge snowstorm we got on Monday here?
Well, we dealt with it is basically what it is. I went from wearing shorts and a T-shirt this morning to shoveling snow. So kind of a rude awakening, but I guess that's what happens when you live up in New England.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Red Sox to get things underway with our baseball insider information. Is there a battle, really, for third base with the Red Sox?
Well, that seems to be the topic of du jour lately, to kind of maybe get Pablo a little fire in the belly and get him going. It's not out of the question. Travis Shaw played a lot of third base with the Cubs last year, played a little bit when he came up to the Red Sox. He's having an incredible spring, hitting well over 450, had another hit today. And maybe they're just kind of giving that little nudge to Pablo that you better get your act in gear. There's someone here that can definitely play as good or if not a little better defense than you, and that's actually hitting the ball. It would be kind of tough to see the Red Sox have a $19 million man just sitting on the bench. But, you know, that's not Dave Dombrowski's problem, and it's not John Farrell's problem. He's got to go with the best lineup he can. And if that's having Travis Shaw at third base, and he's going to provide the offense to the lineup, play some better defense, I say all for it. I mean, I'm not totally in love with Pablo Sandoval, but the thing is, last half week or so, Pablo's been starting to hit the ball. Hit a home run on Sunday, had two more hits today as well. So he's picking it up as well, so we'll have to see what happens there.
All right. Now, as far as pitching is concerned, Joe Kelly is doing well at spring training. And where does he fit into the rotation, and how does the rest of the rotation look right now?
Well, it's interesting with Kelly. He pitched on Saturday, picked up his second win of the spring, and he's had three solid outings in a row. And the way the rotation's kind of shaping up right now, with Porcello struggling so far in the spring, and Buchholz has been hot and cold. He did pick up a win this afternoon, gave up a run and just under five innings of work. Kelly could be as high as number two at this point, or he can be as low as the number four. He could fit in any of those three spots in the middle there, and he can do the job just as much as Buchholz or Porcello at this point. And that leads you into what's going to go on with the number with the five starter, where Eduardo Rodriguez is going to be starting the year on the DL with a knee issue. So that's coming down to a potential battle between Henry Owens, the left-handed rookie, and the knuckleball Stephen Wright, who's out of options. So he may have the edge on getting that fifth starter spot to start the season, because obviously they can send Owens down. And, Wright can be a versatile guy, obviously, in the pitching staff. Can start a game here and there. He can pitch long relief for you, do whatever you need, kind of like what Tim Wakefield used to be. So, that's still some interesting things to still play out with the rotation.
Is there a chance of I understand there's some trade rumors, too, with the Sox, with the Red Sox. And are they with the White Sox as well?
Well, there's a little bit of a rumor that's come up in the last few days with the retirement of Adam LaRoche, the first base DH for the White Sox, which really came out of nowhere, which is another topic we'll discuss. But Red Sox have an outfielder, first base, and DH type, and Alan Craig, who they got with Joe Kelly from the Cardinals. And he's making $20 million this year. And last year he spent most of his time in Pawtucket. Since he's come over to the American League for the Red Sox, he cannot find his swing. Has done little to nothing in a Red Sox uniform. Red Sox may be willing to, obviously I think they would be very willing to eat a lot of that contract, and the White Sox could use an extra bat with LaRoche retiring. So it is a possibility they could explore that route. But I'm sure the Red Sox really don't want to send Craig down to Pawtucket and have a $20 million player sitting on the bench down there.
Now, Adam LaRoche, for our listeners, is the White Sox player that had his 14-year-old son in the clubhouse and apparently had him there quite a bit with the team. And the team said, oh, you got to do a little bit less of having the son in the clubhouse, and he took offense to that. Am I summarizing this well or not? Maybe it's too short, but or too brief. But in essence, he's decided to retire. A lot of folks thought that maybe after a couple of days he'll reconsider and come back, but that's not the case so far, right?
Certainly hasn't been. It's an interesting situation. He signed last year with the White Sox as a free agent, and last year his son, 14-year-old that you mentioned, his son Drake, was with the ball club just about every day of the season. And obviously nothing was said last year. He comes to spring training this year, same routine, son has a locker next to him. I guess this has also been the situation when LaRoche played in Washington. His son Drake is homeschooled, that's why he's with his father so much. And I guess this year the team president, Kenny Williams, decided that, we have to back off a little bit. I don't know if there was some rumblings coming from other players on the team that, kids around a little too much. what the situation is. We really don't have the whole story behind that as to why all of a sudden they made this decision. But LaRoche took offense to it, and he's going to walk away from a $13 million contract this year and let that money go away and just retire. So very, very interesting situation. Obviously, I don't know many workforces that you can bring your child to work every day. That's something that's, you know, not the norm. But I'm sure obviously something could have been worked out to keep everybody happy. But the other side of it, which I'm kind of leaning towards as well, I'm thinking that LaRoche may have been even contemplating retirement to begin with. Had a very poor season last year, batted just over 200, hit 11, 12 home runs, and he was expected to come in and hit 25 to 30 home runs. He really struggled coming back to the American League. And, you know, he's been dealing with some injuries in the spring training so far, so maybe he's just not feeling that he can handle it anymore and do the job. And I don't know if this is a way for him to kind of get out of it, but even $13 million on the table, that's... That's a lot to leave behind. I'm okay, what's going on?
Yeah, your last point is what I was just going to say. That's a lot to leave on the table, no matter how, whether you're hitting 200 or not. You know, you don't leave $13 million on the table. Well, speaking of leaving, the Rays are leaving and headed to Cuba to play that exhibition game on Tuesday in Cuba. So what do you know about that?
Well, it's going to be the first Major League Baseball team to play a game in Cuba since 1999. President Barack Obama will be in attendance. There's supposed to be over 50,000 people at the stadium for the Cuban national team against the Tampa Rays. The Rays do have a couple Cuban players on their roster. They play in the minor leagues. They'll be playing in the game. So it's going to be an interesting situation to see a packed stadium of 50,000-plus people. It's going to be a very festive atmosphere down there, obviously. You know how much the Cuban people love their baseball. It's a, you know, rite of passage down there. It's baseball or nothing, basically, in Cuba. So it'll be quite a scene tomorrow afternoon down there.
Yeah, I just you got to watch out and make sure the Rays don't smuggle back a couple of extra, you know, ball players, whether it be an outfielder or an infielder coming back in the plane from Cuba.
A couple extra guys in the equipment bag, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Who are these guys? I don't know, but I don't know where we got these guys, but just better check the luggage. At least the American League ought to check the luggage when they come back. But all right, and last thing, Andy, the Pawtucket Red Sox. You know, if they're having guys earning millions of dollars down there, they might as well start a Hall of Fame. But I guess they are starting their first Hall of Fame, the Pawtucket Red Sox. Tell us about that.
Well, that is something that just came in out of the news in the past week or so. They are going to have their first team Hall of Fame. I know they're going to try to build some type of little area at McCoy Stadium down in Pawtucket. Of course, there was some news at the end of last year that they were potentially moving the Pawtucket Red Sox to Providence. That seemed to have fallen by the wayside, so it looks like they're going to stay in Pawtucket for the time being in McCoy Stadium. But, yes, their Hall of Fame is going to come together, and they're going to have three inductees the first time around. Former owner Ben Mondor, who got the Pawtucket Red Sox going, as well as Jim Rice and Wade Boggs. And I'm sure as the years go on, there will be quite a list of former Red Sox greats that will be enshrined in the Paw Sox Hall of Fame.
All right. All right, Andy, always great information. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be in touch soon.
Sounds good.
Andy Carbone, our baseball insider, with us here on MSO News Sports Now.